Well, today we're going to be talking about why am I on mission? I don't know about you, but for me, the why is extremely important because the why for me is where my motivation comes from, right? So today we're talking about the why I'm on mission, and I want to paint a little picture for all of us today. So I'm going to encourage everyone, why don't you just close your eyes for a minute? Close your eyes, and we're just going to do some imagination. I want to paint you a bit of a picture of what we're going to be talking about today. So, it had been almost 3.5 years since the day that Peter dropped everything that he knew to step out into a life that he knew nothing about. He could still remember Jesus whispered to him, "Come and follow me." Peter knew nothing about what he was getting into, but something inside of him told him that this was going to be the most important decision that he would ever make in his life. And here we are several years later, and Peter can barely remember his one goal was catching fish on the Sea of Galilee. He and the other guys Jesus called to be the disciples had seen the blind see, the dead rise, the waves become calm, and demons being casted out. Even crazier was that Jesus even had him, Peter, actually doing some of these miracles. It never got old seeing the look of joy in a man's face as he walked for the first time after a lifetime of being paralyzed. And here they were for their third Passover meal together, and something felt different about this one. As the guys found their spots around the table, Jesus didn't go directly to his seat. Instead, Jesus got down on his knees next to a basin of water, and he began to wash the other guy's feet. The others, like Peter, were speechless. And Jesus had spoken about serving others countless times, but this was too much. This was going too far. And Peter was the last one to go. And at this point, Peter just couldn't stay silent anymore. And he said, "No, Lord," as he pulled his feet away. Then Jesus looked deeply into Peter's eyes, much that he'd gone for the last 3.5 years. For the very first time, Jesus was about to say words that were going to change his life forever. And once more, Peter slowly extended his feet and watched in disbelief as the creator of the universe washed the gunk between his blistering toes. Isn't that a powerful image? This week, we're on the 5th week of the Made for a Mission. And if you've been missing in action lately, this is the 5th week. In the 1st week, we talked about we are all called. The calling is not reserved for the spiritual elite. It's not reserved for the pastor or the prophet or the evangelist or the missionary, but for everyone who calls Jesus Lord. In the 2nd week, we answered the question, well, what's my mission? And we said that our mission is Jesus' mission. And so we need to study Jesus and find out what he is about because that is our mission. On the 3rd week, we talked about what's my message. And we learned that our message is actually very simple, that we're only supposed to share how God's goodness has intersected or changed our lives. And last week, we talked about, well, who is my missions? And it's simple. It's everyone around us, that God has strategically placed you in your life, where you live, where you work, and where you play. And so your mission is the people that God has placed around your life. And today we're going to answer the question, why? Why am I on mission? So, I mean, maybe it's easy for each of us to get pumped up while we're sitting here in our service as we're gathering together as the church to see and recognize what our mission is, that the mission that God has placed in each and every one of us from the very beginning. But then as the craziness of life carries in, do you find yourself asking questions like, well, can't I just be a normal soccer mom? Why do I have to be a mom on mission? Or for kids, maybe you ask yourself, do I really have to see my school as a mission field? Or can't I just attend church like everyone else? Do you ever ask yourself those kind of questions? Or Or say to yourself, my job is hard enough. Do I really have to try to force spiritual conversions on my unsaved coworkers? Have you ever asked yourself any kinds of questions similar to those? Well, before we dive into this message today, I want to share a little concept for all of us, and whether you're brand new to the church or you've been in here for all your life or this Jesus thing is new to you and you're trying to figure out things, I think it's really important for us to understand that Jesus is inviting us into a chicken pot pie relationship and not a turkey dinner. Did I confuse anyone? Okay, I'll say this again. Maybe this will catch. So Jesus is inviting us into a chicken pot pie relationship, not a turkey dinner. Nice. Well, if you still don't understand, I'm going to explain it a little bit. And I know my son Jordan, he's going to be a little embarrassed about this, so we'll take it easy on him, because I know most of us at one point or another in our lives, we've done this very thing. But I know my son Jordan, we sit down to a table and we have a nice big fancy turkey dinner, and you've got this turkey over here, you've got your potatoes over here, you've got your peas over here. And have you ever witnessed a kid and that pea rolls into the potatoes? Or you accidentally scoop the sauce on top of the potatoes and they're trying to get it away? Well, that's what a turkey dinner is like, that everything is compartmentalized. Or maybe you remember like a TV dinner where everything is in a sectioned off container. And often we can approach our relationship with God like a TV dinner or a turkey dinner where everything is separate. And you say to yourself, you know what, okay, God, I want to give you my life, but it's so easy for me to make everything compartmentalized. And so, God, over here is my family. And over here, this is my work. And over here, this is my friends. And way back here, this is my spiritual beliefs. But don't dare let them intersect. Don't dare let them touch. The only problem is that Jesus isn't interested in your spiritual life. He is interested in your whole life. And Jesus is looking for this chicken pot pie relationship with us where everything is mixed together. There's no picking and choosing, where that broccoli, that chicken, that carrots is mixed together in every bite, whether you like it or not. And the same is true in our relationship with God. He wants our relationship with him to touch every aspect of our lives and for us to get rid of those compartments. Does that make sense? So, when you go and tell your friends, what did I learn in church today? God wants me to have a chicken pot pie relationship, right? And then they'll be like, what on earth are you talking about? And you can think of that illustration that God wants every part of our lives. How many of you have ever eaten at a restaurant called Carl's Jr.? It's more popular in the States. I noticed it's in Surrey now and it's in bigger centers. But Carl's Jr. has a very interesting slogan. And it says, if it doesn't get all over the place, it doesn't belong in your face. And so the same thing could be said about our relationship with God, that if it doesn't get all over the place, it doesn't belong in your faith. God wants every aspect of our life. And so now we're going to get back to John chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 to 4. It says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that the hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry here on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him all authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. And so he got up from the table, he took off his robe, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. And so here we see this picture that his hour had come. The devil had already gotten a hold of Judas and he was about to betray him. That Jesus knew that the Father had put all things in his power and that he had come to the Father and he was returning to God. And so he got up from the table and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And I think about the disciples here for a moment. I think, man, the disciples, they had seen a lot of things over those 3.5 years, but this was new. I mean, they'd be walking around like, oh, yawn, another paralyzed guy healed. Boring. Man, this blind guy can see again. Oh, just another Tuesday. They've seen everything, but here they saw something new in Jesus, and they're thinking to themselves, no way. Man, God, I'm with you for calming the sea. I'm with you when you heal this lady of bleeding. I'm with you when I see the guy get up. But really? Really, you're going to wash my feet? This was something that was so new to them. For me, it is so easy for myself, and I think for most of us in this room, to turn our mission on and off, isn't it? It's so easy for us to do that. But Jesus was always on mission. One obvious difference that he was, of course, he was God. And so he had a little bit of advantage there on us. But he knew why he was on mission. He knew why he was on the mission. And it was stronger than any reason. It was stronger than any excuse that Jesus could have made and gotten him off of track. So just think of a couple of the reasons for Jesus not to wash the disciples' feet. Just walk with me for a minute. So Jesus had so many excuses not to wash their feet. First of all, he was having a nice meal with his friends. I mean, by the end of the week, it's Friday night. Aren't you guys ready just to relax? And Jesus could have said, man, come on, man. It's been a tough week. I've spoken to a lot of people. I made a lot of bread, a lot of fish, fed so many people, healed so many people. Like, it's Friday night. I want to kick back with my friends and relax. And so for us, it's so easy to like, you know what? I'm done. I need a night off. And Jesus easily could have said, you know what? I know what's about to come, and I need to relax. The second thing is maybe the people at the meal didn't deserve it. I mean, Jesus knew, just imagine this, Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him 3 times that night. You're going to deny me 3 times. Jesus already knew that Judas was going to betray him, right? So here he is, he's washing Judas's feet, and he's about to hand Jesus over to be crucified. And so Jesus' servant heart was far bigger than whether or not the person deserved to have their feet washed. I mean, Jesus was grossly overqualified to wash someone's feet. I mean, washing someone's feet was not even part of the role of a servant. Did you know that? He was way overqualified. He could have said, you know, I'd love to serve you, God, in any way, but not like that. Washing people's feet is disgusting. Right, Corey? Isn't that gross? No human should ever have to clean the nasty gunk between someone else's toes. And maybe that's just me, little foot fetish there. I don't want to touch your feet. I mean, seemingly, and we could walk through this in our lives in so many different ways, that we ask ourselves, what is the point? Why is Jesus going to wash their feet? It's like an hour later, they're going to be walking on those dirty streets in their open-toed sandals, and their feet are going to be caked in filth once again. So what's the point? Have you ever asked yourself that? Like, why am I doing this? And an hour later, no one's going to remember what I'm talking about, unless it's chicken pot pie. They're going to remember that. So he could have easily said, what's the point? Their feet are going to be dirty in an hour later. Or finally, I mean, he had a lot on his mind. He knew Peter was going to deny him. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that he was going to be arrested, beaten, and crucified. And about an hour later, he is going to be sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane because of the stress in his life. And it was so easy for him to take a moment off and say, you know what? I just need to focus on my stuff right now. And how many of us feel like that in our everyday lives? We're like, man, it's Friday night. I just want to relax. Whoa, I am way too qualified to do those dishes. No way. And sometimes we feel like, what's the point? Those dishes are just going to get dirty again. Let's buy paper. Let's just make this really easy. Or sometimes we're like, man, I have so much stress on my mind, I can't do this right now. And here is Jesus, with every excuse in the book, not to wash his disciples' feet. And here we see and recognize that the foundation of Jesus' mission flowed from his very identity. I mean, there's so many things that shape our identity and how we think or look at ourselves. I think how often other people look at us based on what we're doing. And I think about actors. I think about actors on TV or in movies and how they, you know, they could be thinking for themselves, man, I'm going to be a smart scientist in this role over here. Or maybe I'm going to be a fearless captain of a ship in this role in my life. Or maybe I'm going to have to play an awkward teenager. And they have to act out on screen that something that has nothing to do with their real lives. I mean, even for myself, I think about like how I act when I'm playing with my kids or when I'm down at the youth center on a Tuesday night or a Friday night. I act and talk and dress a lot differently than when I come here for a funeral or for a wedding, right? And so for myself, I can be way different depending on the circumstances and at the time. My actions, my attitude, my dress code, they can vary from circumstance to circumstance. But Jesus was on a mission. So the question for each and every one of us in this room today is, how do I stay focused and passionate about the mission even when I don't feel like it? Even when I'm stressed out, or maybe God's asking me to do something for someone that I know is angry towards me and it hurts and I'm tired of trying to reach out to them. So how do I stay on mission? The question is, what happens if your identity is truly found on God? And when I look at Jesus, I see that his identity is truly rooted and grounded in his relationship with God the Father. And as a result of that, Jesus knew who he was. Jesus was the Son of God, and he was on a mission, and that mission was clear. Jesus knew whose he was. He belonged to God the Father. What was there to fear? What was there to be afraid of? Jesus knew what he was here for. He knew that his time had come to pay for the sins of mankind. He knew where he was going. He was going to leave this world to go to the Father in heaven. His eyes were looking beyond the cross. Jesus knew where his power came from. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and he was returning to God. And as followers of Jesus Christ, all of these things are true for us. And so when our identity is wrapped up in God, he is infinitely bigger than any circumstance that surrounds us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Is that encouraging to you? When you are rooted and founded in God, then he is infinitely bigger than any circumstance that may surround you. And so Jesus' identity was secured, but that doesn't answer the question for why. What led Jesus to wash his disciples' feet? I mean, doesn't that seem weird? Just me, the foot fetish guy? That seems weird. My identity is in Christ. I know who I am in God and my relationship with him, but that has never inspired me to stop what I was doing and to wash someone's feet. Is that God asked you to do that? No. So what was God doing through Jesus on this mission at this moment? And look at John chapter 13, verse 6 to 11. It says, when Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, you will never, ever wash my feet. And Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. That's a tough conversation. So Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." And Jesus replied, "A person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean." Come on, Peter. "And you disciples are clean, but not all of you, for Jesus knew who would betray him." That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." So what a crazy response. If I don't do this, then you have no part with me. One of the simplest descriptions of what pour in and pour out. And we begin by pouring out ourselves to God. We share with God the good, the bad, the ugly. And just like a really good parent, Jesus wants to hear us talk about our fears, about our stresses. He wants to hear about what's going on in your life, the passions and the dreams. And then after we pour out our heart to God, then he begins to pour back into us. And the most often happens through his word. When you read the scriptures, something's going to leap off the page and God's going to speak to you. It could also, God can speak to you through godly people. God can also speak to you through circumstances in your life. And God can speak to you especially through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, especially as we pray. And so here we see that Jesus, that God, that the Holy Spirit will fill us up with encouragement, with conviction, with guidance, and with wisdom. And then from this overflow, we then get to pour ourselves out to others. So you see in this life, and we see this in John chapter 11, that Jesus and his disciples, they get away to go to a place to pray. Where Jesus gets to pour out to God the Father and say, "God, I need you. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. Look what's going on in this world and in my life right now. I'm exhausted." And so in John chapter 11, Jesus and the disciples, they get away to pray and they pour out their hearts to God. And then in John chapter 12, Jesus is anointed by a very expensive perfume in preparation for his burial. And then Jesus receives. He's poured into. And then here again in John chapter 13, now we see that Jesus is pouring out and he is washing his disciples' feet. Right after this scene, we're going to see it all repeat itself again. And Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and this is where he pours out his heart to God and he starts sweating blood because he is so stressed out and he pours out to God. And then the passage tells us that God sends an angel to strengthen him. And to pour into Jesus. And then finally, Jesus goes from there and he gives his life on the cross to forgive the sins of all mankind. And he ultimately pours himself out. So to the depth that I pour out to God is the depth that God is able to pour back into me. And to the depth that God pours into me is to the depth that I am able to pour out to others. And so I wanted this table over here because it's going to show us something here. So this glass represents something really gross. This is all the filth. This is all the dirt. This is all the gunk. Everything in my life. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. I sin, I make mistakes, and I'm full of gunk, I'm full of dirt. And so this glass is full of nasty water that nobody would ever want to drink. But what God wants us to do is God wants us to take out this nasty gunk, and he wants us to pour it out. And so as we pour out that nasty gunk, dirty, filled water, our glass is now empty. And then what God wants to do is he wants to pour himself back into us, but this time he's going to fill me up with love, joy, peace, purpose, hope, potential, plans. And God fills me with clean water. So I pour out my dirty cup. And then God pours into me this clean, gorgeous water. And then from this new cup, God wants me to pour out to others so they can receive what God just poured into me. Does that make sense? And so here we see this whole pour out so that God can pour in, so that I am able to pour out into others. So what would happen if I never took the time in prayer and allowed to pour out everything into God? What would I be left with to pour into others? Dirty, gunky, nasty, dirty water, right? I can only pour into others what I have received and poured into myself. And so all we have to do is we have to empty our dirty cup. We have to give it over to God so that our cup is clean and able to receive what Jesus wants to pour into us. So when people come to you in need, if the dirty water is all that you have, that's all that you have to offer, and the reality is that you can very well end up hurting someone else more than helping them. And they don't need your nasty, dirty water. They need Jesus. They need the perfect, healing, cleansing water. And so for Peter, God is doing this very thing. By washing Peter's feet, he's giving this powerful object lesson of replacing our nasty, dirty feet with clean ones as he pours into us. And so Peter's first response is, no way, this is not going to happen. But Jesus comes back even stronger and says, Peter, if I can't do this for you, then you've missed the whole point of everything that I have poured into you for this past 3.5 years. From the very beginning, Jesus' primary call on Peter's life was that he had not been ministry, but that he would have intimacy with Peter. So Jesus told Peter on that day, follow me. Not do what I want you to do, not just get in line, but Jesus was inviting Peter into, first and foremost, into a relationship, and then he was going to make him fishers of men. And so Peter's job was not to become a fisher of men, but to follow Jesus, because Jesus will do the fishing through Peter, not because of Peter. So we all get this stuff in our lives that makes us forget the reality and forget our true identity in what God is calling and asking us to do. God wants to cleanse us and remind us who we really are, that we are made for a mission, life in relationship with God. And the two can't be separated. The exciting thing is that when we receive from God, he replaces our dirty, filthy, nasty water with clean water that will bring life and love and hope and joy and peace to those around us. So look at the last thing that Peter and the disciples have to do. John chapter 13, verses 12 to 15. It says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and he sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. And so here we see this example to go and do the same for others. Now, is he telling us to literally wash other people's feet? It's kind of weird in our culture today, isn't it? It's the whole principle of serving and pouring out and pouring in so that we can pour out. This story has so many different layers to it. So not only do we see where Jesus puts his foundation so that he's able to stay on mission, we also find that God pours out more of himself into us as we serve and sacrifice, that we become like the Father, we become like Jesus. And it's so opposite from the world around us. The world around us talks about upward mobility, that we need to get a better job. We need to get a better house. We need to get a better car or a better paycheck. But God actually is leading us in the other direction, isn't he? He's not saying, no, no, go and do this. You're going to earn some serious brownie points here. No, he's actually teaching us that downward mobility. It's so foreign to our culture, but it's his way that Jesus, he came and he exchanged a throne in heaven for a cross here on earth. And he's calling and asking each and every one of us into a relationship with him where we serve and where we sacrifice so that God can pour into us and we will be able to pour out to others. So before we actually write off his words as cruel punishment, listen to the last thing that he says in verse 16 to 7. He says, I tell you the truth, slaves are no greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. That's kind of encouraging, isn't it? He's not encouraging us to do these things so that we can earn spiritual brownie points. Instead, he's actually saying, you'll be blessed if you do these things. Isn't it cool that we are actually the fortunate ones when we serve? To me, I think that's phenomenal. The more that we serve, the more that God is able to pour into us, and the more benefit we actually receive as we are pouring out to others. And I think there's two main reasons of why he does this. The first thing is that the more that you serve, the more that you sacrifice out of an overflow of your cup, the more you are like Christ. But the second thing is very similar. It says, the more that you serve and sacrifice, the more that you are with Christ. So when we serve and when we are sacrificed, we become like Christ because we're spending more time with Christ. And the deeper you go down, the more that you serve, the more deeply immersed you become in God's love. And it's only here that we truly get to understand and fathom that Jesus is enough. If you have God, if you have a relationship with Jesus, that is all that you need. So as we live on mission, it's so important that we understand our why. Why am I on mission? For me, it's so that we don't have to seek approval from our work. We don't have to seek approval from our money or our accomplishment or our abs or our biceps, our boyfriends, our girlfriends, our wives, our jobs, our kids or our parents, because when we serve, when we understand who we are in Christ, that is all that we need because we are fully approved by God and you are God's kid. Isn't that exciting? And so from this identity, Jesus now calls us to serve others. We're called to humbly and happily put others' needs before our own. Jesus set the standard, and he set it pretty high. He was and is God, and he washed grimy feet, and he told us to follow his example. So this next week, as you pour out all of your stuff to Jesus, I want you to allow him to pour himself back into you. I really believe that it's important that I caution every person here this morning. Be careful who you pour out to. When you pour out to God, God can take it. But when we pour out to the world, then you're going to get worldly advice. Does that make sense? When you pour out to God, he can take it. But when we pour out to the world, we're going to get worldly advice. If we pour out to God, then God is going to pour back into you that life, that love, that joy, that peace, that purpose, that identity. But if you pour yourself out to the world and you're trying to find satisfaction from the things of this world, you're only going to find solutions for coping. Because the world can't offer you life. The world will tell you to turn to drugs or to alcohol, to relationships, or maybe philosophies to numb the pain. But it can't offer you life. I want to encourage everyone here today that if you are struggling with identity, if you are struggling with value, if you are struggling with any crippling addictions to numb the pain that you feel and carry, pour out to God this morning. so that he will pour life back into you. And then you can pour out that life to others. I like Romans chapter 10, verse 15 for this. Did I put that one up on there, Julie? Okay, Romans 10, 15 says, "And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And so as you spend time with God each day, God is going to wash you every day, and only God can give you beautiful feet. Only God can wash you clean and pure and give you life. Otherwise, you end up pouring out this dirty and nasty water because this is what you have received from the world, the hurt, the pain, the guilt, the shame. God wants to pour you full of life and love and happiness and peace and purpose and joy and identity and value. I'm going to warn you as well that you're not going to get everything right. Often we as Christians are blamed for being hypocrites because we are not perfect. And I think about Peter and his beautifully clean feet. Jesus just washed his feet. And then Jesus invites him to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and he says, "Will you stay up with me and pray for me? I need you." And Peter falls asleep. And then a few hours later after that, Peter denies knowing Jesus three times and he takes off running full of guilt and he hides. But a few days later, Jesus meets him on the same beach where it all began, and Peter pours out to God and he says, "Man, I'm so sorry." And then Jesus pours into Peter, and then Peter pours out on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved. And the rest is history. So Jesus can wash your feet clean, and you may stumble, you may fall, you may make some mistakes, but hang in there because God can take it. You don't have to be perfect because he is. And don't worry if you fall asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Don't worry if you happen to slip and trip and fall. Pour it out to Jesus and say, "I'm sorry. I've sinned, I've made a mistake, I need you," and allow him to pour into you so that you can receive those Pentecost moments. Don't give up on God, who has never given up on you. Satan likes to whisper in your ear and say, "You can't do it." Don't stretch yourself, you're going to fail. In the same time, God is pouring into you and he's whispering in your ear and he says, "I still believe in you. I'm not done with you. The best is yet to come. You have no idea. Just trust me. One more day. Get back up. I'll be strong in your weakness. I've got this. You're not alone. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." I think one of the coolest things for us to remember is that the book of Mark actually comes from the testimony of Peter. And it's written just a couple decades after Jesus rose from the dead. And here is Mark, and he's interviewing Peter, and Peter is sharing his stories, and he is so secure at his identity with Christ that he begins to share all of his mistakes with Mark. And just picture this. Peter is pouring out to Mark, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, this is where I messed up. I screwed up, and I cut off the guy's ear. Oops, my bad." And then Peter says, "Oh, yeah, that's when I fell asleep in the garden. I'm sorry. And that's when I took my eyes off of Jesus, and I began to sink in the water." And Peter starts pouring out all of his mistakes to Mark, but he doesn't care because his identity is so secure in Jesus. And the foundation of his mission flowed from his identity in Christ. And the same has to be true for you and I as well, for each and every one of us. Perhaps you're in some of your worst moments right now. You might even ask yourself, "How could I possibly serve others? I have nothing to offer anyone else." And you feel like you're always failing. And then that's when Jesus comes along and he says, "I want a chicken pot pie relationship with you. I don't want just the good stuff. I want all of it. I want to have a relationship with you where everything is mixed together and there's that broccoli and that chicken and that carrots and it's mixed in every bite. Whether you like it or not, Jesus knows that you're going to mess up. Jesus knows you're going to make mistakes and he wants all of you anyways. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to have a relationship with him and for you to allow him to touch every aspect of your life, that there are no compartments that says, well, this is my work life and this is my family life and this is my friends and this is my spiritual life. No, God says, I want all of it. I want that chicken pot pie with you. Let's just close in prayer. God, you're so amazing. God, I thank you that regardless of the mistakes that I make, regardless of how many problems that I have or any of us have in this room, regardless of how many mistakes that we have made, that God, that you can turn around these mistakes, that you could use all things and all situations for your honor and glory for everyone who finds their identity in you, Christ Jesus. Because God, these mistakes and these opportunities come for transformation. That we can walk through each of these situations victoriously, and someday, some way, we're going to walk through someone else that made the same mistake that we just did, and we can point them back to you because we poured out our heart to you, and we allowed you to pour back into us so that we have this clean, pure water to pour out to others. God, forgive us for trying to offer that dirty, gunky, ugly, nasty water to others. God, we know that hurt people hurt people. And God, we know that you fill us full of life and peace and joy. So God, if there's anyone that is struggling in this room with any kind of addiction, if there is anyone that is struggling in this room with any sense of guilt or shame, God, I want to encourage them just to put that at the forefront of their mind and to hand it over to you, to release it in Jesus' name, to give it to you, to break that bondage of sin, to break that circumstances and the repeat the things and the mistakes that we've learned from our family, from our parents or our friends or the hurt that we've received. God, we want to give it over to you. God, we ask that you wash our feet this morning, that you wash our hearts this morning, that you wash our minds this morning so that we are pure, that we are clean, that we are holy, and that God, that we are able to pour out to others this morning. God, you are so good. You are worthy of our praise. And I'm so grateful that we don't have to turn to the different philosophies, addictions, or drugs, or relationships of this world. They're only coping circumstances, only coping mechanisms. God, you can offer us life. You can offer us joy. You can offer us peace. You can offer us purpose. And we need you. So this morning, our why is found in you. God, thank you for the example that you, your son Jesus Christ, gave to us, that you knelt down in the midst of your circumstance when you had so much other things on your mind and the people around you didn't deserve it, but you washed their feet, even if it didn't make a difference that an hour later their feet were going to get dirty again. God, thank you. Help us always to see and recognize the meaning that you place in others' lives around us and the circumstances that you offer us. Help us to see you and what you want us to do in our everyday, in our lives, in our moments, in our workplaces, in our schools, and that we can pour out to you, we can receive from you, and then pour out to others what we have received from you so that we can bring life and have it more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.